You, O Lord.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child in her womb leapt for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. There is not much to add to the Gospel of Luke and the story of the birth of Jesus. And certainly, how can one compete with a pot-bellied pig? But I did want to take just a moment to reflect upon this song of Mary, the Magnificat. This is perhaps an addition to our Voices of Advent for our midweek Advent services. The Voice of Mary, one we talked around a bit when we heard the voice of Elizabeth. The author of the Gospel of Luke uses Mary's song called the Magnificat, from the Latin word for magnify, to lay out very clearly what God and Jesus has come to do. Jesus is Lord, the one who looks with favor on the lowly. The child who Mary carries will scatter the proud, will bring down the powerful from their thrones, lift up those who are low. This child will fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty. Jesus has come not to be cute and adorable in the manger, but to overturn the structure of the world. In this he is indeed a rebel, a danger to those who are in power. This is the one who Herod trembles at hearing of his birth, and rightfully so. Martin Luther, in a letter to a young Duke John Frederick on the Magnificat, wrote that the God who created the universe out of nothing is added again in this song. God thinks differently than we humans do. God does not turn away from all that is weak and lowly, does not turn aside from poverty and misery. Rather, God has looked into the depths of human poverty, despair, misery, and anguish, has reached into those depths and, quote, helps only the poor, despised, afflicted, miserable, forsaken, and those who are not. And this God has done so through the lowly, Mary. God has once again created something beautiful and powerful out of something which appears to be nothing. Now, this story is so familiar to us that we forget. We forget Mary is not the daughter of a Fortune 500 CEO. Rather, she is the maid who cleans hotel rooms. She's the waitress in the small diner. She is one of the millions, billions of people who live their lives and die without leaving any visible impact on the grand global history of the world. Except, we worship a God who creates meaning out of what seems to be nothing, who reaches into the lives of even the most common of people and gives them a mission that makes an impact on the world. And for Mary, it is indeed a world-changing impact, a world-shaping impact. In her child Jesus, we have the physical embodiment of God's ongoing desire that the weak and lowly have what they need, that they be treated with care and dignity, that they be acknowledged as having worth and importance in the world. And God does this by turning the structure we have created as humans upside down. Those who have much are sent away empty. The powerful are thrown out of power. The influential can't even move the needle. Instead, it is the poor, the powerless, the weak, the inconsequential, who God lifts up. And it is these same ones who are truly humble, who acknowledge that this is not of their own doing, but through God's blessing. These are indeed in right relationship with God, knowing their place in things. The birth of the child of Mary will be heralded by the heavenly host of angels. But it is not announced to King Herod or Emperor Augustus, to Governor Reynolds or President Biden, to the rich or the famous. Rather, it is announced first to the lowliest, smelly, disreputable shepherds. These are the first to hear the good news and to see with their own eyes this child. Ones who are living without even a roof over their heads. And this is just the beginning. As we travel this week with Mary and Joseph to the manger in Bethlehem, as we journey through the Gospel of Luke in this church season, let us always remember that this child who is born has come to bring light into the darkness, and to turn the world and our human expectations about how it should work upside down. Let us ponder. Ponder that perhaps we are the powerful, the rich, the privileged, that are to have our lives and expectations turned upside down. Let us remember that whether we are being laid low or lifted up from the depths, this child has come so that we all might have life. Life fuller and more abundant. That Jesus has come not to condemn the world, but to save it. That Jesus has come because God so loves the world that God has created, that God so loves you, each and every one of you. And so may the Holy Spirit blow in and through us this Advent and Christmas season, that we may sing with joy the Magnificat of Mary and wait the turning of the world.